you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
In your own bye, guys, it's all about being sensitive, having fun, and just really being yourself. Bye guys with Zach and Ian. It'll get your dick sucks.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Bye Guys. You can hear by the giggles it's Thursday, which means we're all fun of the funnies and the sillies and the sensitivities and proclivities that make us who we are. I am happy to be here. My name is Ian Fidance, as you know from the sound of my deliciously sultry voice. And I don't know if you can tell, but Zach Amico is not here. Zach is on the road.
I thought Zach got it together.
Zach drastically changed within the week. And instead, two weeks ago, he had face paint makeup on, and now Jane has that as well, but it's permanent.
Yeah.
And that's my wonderful co-host today, true bye guy, and I'm so happy he's here, Shane Smith.
Hi, everyone. I'm Shane Smith, also a bye guy.
Yes. And also, you know, to make today just a perfectly pun-filled episode, it's now the Irish Goodbye Guys podcast. Because we have Mike Feeney and Mike Cannon.
That's right. We're two just flat out gay dudes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And we have a segment on the show called Prove It. The end of the episode is just a baklava, flesh and regret. So it's going to be fun.
Baklava?
A baklava. Did I say baklava?
No, that's what I heard because I don't know the word.
I also heard baklava. I was.
I
like,
said baklava. I meant baklava. Baklava is like
what's
just.
That? What's that? Mike doesn't know.
Baklava is like a big pile-on type orgy.
Ah.
Yes, from Roman times.
I see.
Yes, you've never had one.
No. I've only the most I've had at once has been two people. Never anything else.
Really?
Yeah.
That must have, you were young because you've been with your wife since
I was
you
six.
Were like eight.
Yeah. My dad both of his parents. It's a really traumatic experience. Please don't bring it up.
The Feeney's mustache makes it look like he's the one that orchestrated it for your kids.
He's my coach that used to stretch me out for a long time at practice.
A lot of deep upper thigh massages. Yeah.
We're gonna need you to do that stretch. Where you go back in your shoulder blades again. Maybe this time do it for like a count of 20 to 30 minutes.
All right, see you, everybody.
Well, that's the show, everyone. Yeah, that's
bye.
The show.
That was
bye, guys.
I will not take responsibility.
Time flies,
for that.
Right?
Damn.
It's
driving.
Great. Mike and Mike, thank you for being here. I appreciate you guys coming in. You know, usually the show is, I mean, I'm just glad we could get a replacement that's truly bye. You know, that's like the goal of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is it hard to find here? Gas Digital.
Well, it is funny though because a lot of the response we get is from like guys that are bi or like gay, but they're Gas Digital fans, so they like you know earn a trailer and they're like, I'm in Montana and I'm gay. Like, wow,
I fought my dad four times this week.
It's a big difference than the New York gay we're used to.
Yeah,
that's what that gay I'm used to. I'm from Utah, where you're like, don't say it.
Oh,
you know, so
mountain gay.
Yeah, mountain gay. Exactly. Brokeback Mountain gay.
Brokeback Mountain gay.
That Brokeback Mountain is close to where I grew up.
Really?
Yeah, it's
that's
in Wyoming.
An actual mountain.
Yeah, it's in Wyoming.
Wow. You grew up in Utah, not Wyoming.
Not Wyoming, yeah. I grew up in central Utah.
Wow.
Is that big Mormon area?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they are not stoked on gay people.
I would, yeah, that would be my
at
guess.
At all. They're so not stoked on gay people. They went to California and spent like millions of dollars to try. They're like, we'll stop them at the source.
Yeah?
Yeah, and they didn't do it, but they sure tried.
Well, is Mormonism like actively like... Because there's nothing really in the Bible explicitly that says gay is wrong.
Yeah.
They just says, like kind of twist it around. It just
say
says like one line.
Yeah.
They say one line, but there's not like a whole book dedicated to it. You know,
yeah,
there's not
yeah.
like parables about being gay.
Right.
You know, like there are a million other things. They also say, you know, it's a sin to eat shellfish.
Yeah,
I'm not saying I agree with the Bible.
Why do you agree with the Bible?
He is a staunch New Testament guy.
I think Sodom and Gomorrah really did us in. I think the fact that butt fucking was so popular in the worst
place.
Yeah,
but they were across the board butt fucking.
Yeah, no, they were. Like, they tried to butt fuck everybody. They tried to butt fuck the angels that visited Lot, and then everyone got and God was like, "Now you have to die."
Yeah.
Why did it become so popular in Greece? Like post.
Oh, because it feels so good.
Well, no, Greece was way
they
freed Jesus.
They have they had all the olive oil and they were like, "This is good."
Yeah,
that was just
keep doing this.
They were like,
happy
just
butt fuck time.
They that's how they made feta.
And the Romans too were big into that.
Yeah, really. It's historically it's a great thing.
Yeah, no,
a bunch of people probably it hurt because it didn't get done well, and they're like, "This is wrong. Don't do it." Terrible.
You know what I think happened is Rome, places like Greece and Rome have been like subjugating and conquering most of the world. And so they're like, we got beat up by the butt fuck guys. This is banned. We're banning butt fucking.
They were the tops of society.
They were.
Yeah.
I know. And we just got to the bottom of it. So, woo! Whatchamacallit. I don't know. I'm really out of it today. I didn't sleep much last night. And I don't know. I just stayed up late. I cannot get to bed before 3 a.m. I don't know what it is.
Is it hard to sleep in a enclosed space that smells like fresh cigarettes at all time?
My place doesn't smell like cigarettes.
But aren't you ripping butts in your apartment?
He has an air filtration system.
I have an air filtration system, and I open a door and a window. And surprisingly, it doesn't smell like smoke.
I would guess that it very much still smells like smoke to any single person who does not smoke cigarettes. Would notice pungently immediately.
I have people over, and I go, "Does it smell like smoke?"
And they placate
say,
you.
And they see you being manic, and they're like, "No, Ian, you're fine." Yeah. Oh, my God. And then they whisper to the person they brought with them, "Do you think we're in danger right now?"
Then they cough blood into it.
Yeah. Why did he lock the deadbolt after he asked us that?
I will say that it did for a little bit, and then I stopped smoking indoors, and it's
you're
it's
on the vape now,
away.
Right?
I'm on the vape indoors.
Oh, so you're just doubling
indoors.
Up.
Doubling up.
Okay.
And then sometimes two at once, like a dragon.
Yeah.
Ah. But I do need to quit, and I think I'm going to set a goal of quitting at 40. So I have 4 years.
Wow, really setting your sights on that one.
Quit at 40, September. And then roll out those last 3 years of life. That's pretty great. In the final twilight years. Just
At least you'll be young, so the drowning in your own fluids won't
bad. Yeah. Dude, in the morning is... Ooh. And if I bet a smoker, it just sounds like we're two humidifiers fucking.
Oh,
no.
It's rough.
Yeah, it sounds like two helicopters trying to start. Somebody trying to start a lawnmower.
So Sagalow has an easier time breathing than you.
No. I can still breathe way better than
Sagalow. The seriousness of
Ian's. Yeah.
It's like, no, we're really concerned.
No, we stream. I can hear him breathe.
Just into the mic.
Makes it so good. It doesn't even pick up heavy breathing. Wow.
I know. It's perfect. Sure. SM7B. Thank you. I am going to quit. But, you know, I don't drink, I don't do drugs, coffee and cigarettes. The pandemic has made me smoke way more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think everybody's up with whatever they were doing to indulge, you know.
I'll be real. I think I drink like 24 Diet Cokes a day.
I mean, you had a huge energy drink in here when
not
we started.
Not a problem. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How many
was that a NOS?
A
what?
Was that a NOS
no, it was
energy
a,
drink?
It was a Bang energy drink.
Oh,
I think.
Nice.
I've never had one, and I feel pretty good right now, I'll
Dude,
be honest.
I heard Bangs are fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Like, those are, like, next-level energy
no
drinks.
No shit?
Yeah.
I used to drink an energy before I like drank coffee. I would have a Red Bull or one or two Red Bulls every single day. And then I started drinking coffee and I was like, "Oh, the adults are here." And then there was like one or two times recently that I tried, maybe like in the last year or two, that I tried a Red Bull and I felt like I was just like cracked out. Like it just like it hits you in a different way. It's like a straight shot, but I crashed so hard from energy drinks.
That's my afternoon coffee now when I'm heading out to do spots because I wake up so early with the baby. I'm right. up all day and then I have to go do spots. So
yes,
I pound
so
a,
you have your morning coffee at like 6 o'clock.
Yeah. No, yeah. like 7:30. It's not that bad, but it's like, it's fucking nuts. Lindsay Lohan, there was like an energy drink for weightlifters and hardcore addicts
what?
Called Redline. Did you ever have this?
No.
I remember this.
Dude, Redline was like, it almost tasted like snake venom. Like, it was insane. You could just, you immediately were like, it just flashed through your body.
And you had to suck it out of somebody's body.
Lindsay Lohan used to literally, like, after a night of partying, wake up, pound a Redline, take another 2-hour nap, and then wake up and start her day.
Jesus.
That's how hard she was
God,
going.
I love her.
Me too.
That's fucking hot.
Do you guys remember Ripped Fuel? Is this a thing?
Mm-hmm. What?
That fucked you up. Way bad.
Ripped
I think
fuel.
It had ephedrine in it.
I never took it because I was like, I think I'm like sober. So I was like, I think this is on the line. But I had friends who like, they were just like, I'm fucked up on Ripped Fuel right now. And they were just like aggressive.
Dude, I do like I was doing 2 or 3 ice red eyes a day and it was a lot.
3 is a lot.
Yeah. But Ripped Fuel?
Yeah, no, dude. It's like.
You had it.
Yeah, I think I did a lot of stuff. I mean, I used to take clenbuterol, which is like a horse asthma medication,
okay.
But it also like, what? Yeah.
Wait, horses get asthma? How do I not know this?
I don't know.
That's fucking wild.
Yeah, and I told my uncle, who's a vet, like that my friend was taking it, and he's like, you need to tell them to stop taking that yesterday. That is going to kill them. And I'm like sitting there tremoring from.
What's a horse with asthma say?
He actually,
oh, yeah,
Ian actually did that.
I did.
Moments
I
ago,
heard it and
but
we
Mike
all...
was still telling the story, yeah, but yeah. We all ignored it.
Can I say? Can I just honestly say?
I'm so good I could start with a punchline and then.
I'll be real. I just thought that was you breathing. I was like, no,
I saw him deliver it. I saw him go, hey.
I was like, oh,
I think you said hey the first time.
And like a bad memory, I just totally ignored you.
Yeah, he doesn't even know what you said.
No, I knew totally... it. I just assumed the attempt and continued.
You both plowed ahead and both got. Nothing from that.
I assumed you were dying and let it slide.
Yeah.
I'm not going to embarrass the guy. I'll address it later. Maybe stop smoking now.
Yeah.
I heard you dying during the podcast, and I'm just concerned.
My lungs are good for the most part.
Disclaimer.
Yeah, well,
here's the thing. I ride a bike. I could go miles and miles and miles, and I'm fine.
Right.
But if I ran from here to the end of the block, I'd be like, this is a problem.
Yeah, because you're stationary when you're on a bike. You're
still pumping your legs and breathing.
Still cardio.
Yeah, sure. It's still cardio.
But if you can't run any distance, that's probably
pretty bad. Well, I mean, I can. I just get out of.
It's because when you bike, your lungs are stationary. But when you run, you shake loose whatever the fuck is inside you.
All the carcinogens dripping off your side.
Just soaks up in his lungs.
I have to keep smoking or else I will get sick. When I stop smoking,
that's the withdrawals.
I knew guys like that with steroids, where their body stopped producing testosterone naturally, so they had to
I mean, not sick,
it.
Like, shake. I mean, I get agitated and whatever, but I mean,
I've been around you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are times when I've, like, quit smoking for, like, a day or two, and people are like, can I buy you a pack? But I, no, I'll get, like, my body is flushing out toxins.
Yeah.
So I'll just be, like, coughing. I'll usually get, like, a mild flu or whatever.
It sounds like it's working. When you're quitting. It sounds like your body's... You're like, my body's getting rid of all
sick.
The toxins.
No, I need
yeah,
the
but
toxins.
It's expelling all of the...
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
it's
toxins. Actually keeping you sick.
Yes.
I think that's a heroin mentality.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
what's crazy to me is your mom seems... She's the one that offered to get you this air filtration system, no? But so she's almost like supporting the cigarette smoking.
Oh, yeah. I smoke with my mom at home.
That's like their favorite thing to do together.
Yeah, but I would think like...
But it is, you know, like last night, she's like, you got to cut back. You got to quit smoking. And then like, you know, people were getting on me about it.
Well, she's got four cigarettes in her mouth at once.
Yeah, you
got
to quit. Yeah.
She takes one out of my mouth to put one in hers.
You got to quit and give them to me.
No, but it's, I know it. I'm aware of it. But I tried, timing is everything. And I tried at the beginning of the pandemic because I thought, like, you know, people that smoke are more susceptible to corona. I'm going to get corona. I'm going to die. So I was like, I got to quit. So I quit. And then I started to get that, like, little sickness. And I was like, great. Now I have corona. And then it was, like, the worst time in the world to stop your addiction.
Right. You just got to get down with the sickness.
Did you ever end up getting corona?
Disturbed.
No.
I love that you're like, yeah, I got it immediately. I got it before we started quarantining.
March, baby.
Yeah. Well, I live in January. I live in Queens.
No way.
He never had it. He never had it. He's just telling people that he had it.
Sure I had it.
No way.
He did not. Don't say no way because you're by your feet.
My body was clenching together. I was vomiting. I was sick.
Oh, well, vomiting wasn't a
symptom. No, he didn't have it.
I wasn't vomiting.
Okay. All right.
I definitely had it.
I am one of those people that was like, I think I had it in February because I was so sick beyond any sort of sickness I had ever had. Body aches. I had a high temperature. I lost my voice. I could not function. And it lasted for like 3 weeks. And it was like a sick, I was like this, I feel like I'm in withdrawal again. Just cold sweats, fucking shaking, couldn't move. And that was in like middle February. And then I didn't, everyone I know got corona and I didn't get it. So I don't know. But also, you know, every fucking douche is like, bro, I had it.
I know. Well, that's why I'm playing it up. It's like, I have no idea if I had it.
But I feel like I didn't. I think it.
Still didn't.
I think.
Don't say I don't know if I had it.
No, but I definitely had some sort of illness that was in line with most of the symptoms of corona. Did I lose my smell or taste? No, I didn't. But all of the body aches, sweating, loss of voice, all that shit,
dude,
I had the exact same thing.
That ripped through the city. Yeah. Everyone I know was like sick in February.
Yeah.
And the people I know,
well,
they
say, I know like you're not flu.
Yeah, but here's
you did not. You did not have it.
How do you know?
Because you told me so.
No, I didn't.
And your antibodies were negative.
That's not true. I've never taken an antibody test once.
Lie.
No, it's not.
Lie by. By guy lie.
Interesting mystery we have afoot here, Ian.
Someone draws blood.
I just want to keep this going. This is very fun for me.
This is wild.
Watching the dissolution of a podcast over whether or not you had COVID.
That's the most important thing to me.
Yeah.
That he's convinced.
Well, I love that Feeney's a COVID snob.
Oh, yeah.
I had the real. I had the original.
Yeah.
He
had the original recipe.
Yeah.
Now it's all deviants.
Yeah. Well, it's like Sagalo, where Sagalo makes...
Variants. Deviants. The COVID's going around just sucking their fucking... COVID's like, well, I'm just doing it to get inside people.
Yeah. Well, it's like Sagalo being like, I'm Jewish. I can make Jewish people jokes. And you're like, you're not Jewish. And he was like, my dad's Jewish. And I'm like, that makes you not... I was like, did you ever celebrate? He's like, no, we celebrated Christmas. I was like, you're not Jewish.
Yeah.
But he's like, I'm Jewish. So I
when
can say
did he come
things.
Out as Jewish?
Well, last time someone called him anti-Semitic.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Pretty solid defense, though. Pretty solid. Yeah. Pretty tough. Pretty tough.
That's amazing. That's so funny that if he was like, I'm a woman, people would be like, I respect it and I believe it. But he's like, I'm Jewish. And they're like, no. Fuck you. You liar.
That's because Jewish people are a little more discerning. We're not... down with people just saying,
are you
whatever.
Jewish?
Yeah, I am.
I feel like Jewish people, though, it goes one or two ways. Either Jewish people are always like, oh, thank God you're a Jew, or they go like, I don't know if you're a Jew, and then they put you through the ringer.
I get a pass almost because Jewish people get mad when I'm like, I'm not Jewish, and they're like, you're lying.
They're like, your face, it's a just, boardwalk just, drawing
they're
of a
like
Jew.
They're like, even if you're not, you're, you know.
Yeah.
And I got the 23andMe, and I'm like 0.10% Ashkenazi,
right?
But
well,
I didn't grow up
Jewish.
With it. I have every characteristic.
Isn't that a thing in terms of privilege, right? People that present white are have some sort of privilege within, like, I'm going by the woke definition of things here. So but you present Jewish, So you've kind of gone
through the
Jewish...
So you get Jewish privilege.
Yeah, you have...
Enjoy
yeah.
being stabbed in France, Ian.
I get right. Jewish racism. People, yeah. no, like, know. Think I'm Jewish,
yeah, you do
and then
look
like
a propaganda poster for World War II.
Anti-Semitic to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, wait a minute.
I have the exact opposite problem, where dudes come up to me and they're like, Jews, right? The banks? And I'm like, sure, bud. Like, I'm not going to...
Dude, I used to do hood rooms,
this.
And fucking Dominican women love me and be like, little Jew boy, come over here, let's get a picture. And I was like, well, that's not factually accurate.
Yeah, I bum Orthodox people here in New York out all the time because I speak a little Hebrew, so I'll just be
do
like,
you?
You know, Boker Tov, you know, Mani Shema, and then they'll be like, no, English. Like, they don't even want to try to speak
Well, because
Hebrew
the
with
tattoos
me.
Are in such direct contrast,
because
right?
of everything about me. Yeah, yeah.
You
they're
have
legitimately
so many tattoos
bummed out.
That you've gone back around where they're like, yes, we can now bury you in a Jewish cemetery.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
You only like, have like 4% skin left before you're actually, then you'll come into
You
the
have
world.
As yeah. much yeah. skin left as I am percentage Jewish.
When you grow your hair out, though, and you get yeah. like the little like curly fro, curly, that's yeah. like, that's really when it's like, oh, Ian's.
Totally.
Yeah, yeah you're like Ari's totally. Younger brother.
Well, Jews and Italians are very similar, but I grew up.
Both of us killed Jesus.
Yes, we're both responsible for the best
Teamwork.
Death of all time.
Yeah, it's pretty cool on our part.
I think Jewish and Italian moms like instill a similar guilt in their children.
Mm. Oh my God. Mm. Guilt, paranoia. Yeah.
True, true.
Total.
I don't feel like Italians, I feel like they, in every like Italian like mob movie, they work with the Jews, but like begrudgingly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there feels like there's an underlying, very close to the surface racism, but they're willing to do business because they understand that the green rules all.
Well, it's weird how it like, comes around because I feel like Italians and Jews were very close and Italians wanted to be like Jews and then like in like the 70s 80s or whatever and then blacks wanted to be Italians and then now Italians want to be black.
Black people want to be Italian?
You ever hear that
oh,
Mike DeStefano?
Yeah, dude. Are you kidding me?
You ever hear
like,
that Mike?
New York City 70s, it was all about trying to be like, you were like a mobster, like
yeah.
suit, fucking slick back hair,
yeah.
fucking doo-wop.
But they were different. Mike DeStefano had this joke where it was like, Jews are Italians with college.
Jews are Italians with college.
Yeah, and it's great. Hilarious. And that's kind of what it is in the sense where Italians saw a market and the ability to make money, but they weren't educated, so they couldn't infiltrate it, you know, by the book. So
right.
they just fucking took it.
Yeah.
Because that's what they were capable of doing.
Brute strength.
Yeah.
yeah. Brute strength.
That's interesting. I love that the Jewish, like, we're educated thing is, like, the big trope, but, like, there's a huge, like, white trash Jews are the majority of Jews. Most
white
Jews.
White trash
historically,
yeah, like,
especially.
Hasidic Jews are not educated.
Yeah, yeah. Like, Jews are just, like, we're just fucking...
There aren't many doctorates given to
We have more
Jews.
In common with people in Appalachia than we do
totally.
With fucking the educated trope that people say we have. It's just that
Hasids
all the
are
Jewish...
Appalachian...
Yeah, all the Jewish
Jews.
People in the media are in the media because they have money and there's nepotism.
Mm.
And so then you think, like, oh, yeah, Jewish people are, like, educated and stuff. But then if you go out into the world as a regular Jewish person or go to Israel or something, you're like... Whoa, are Jewish people okay? They're like, we have more in common with Russians on YouTube than we do
yeah.
the American
in
trope
the Hasidic,
of like John Stewart
in the Hasidic
or whatever.
Community, educated is actually a synonym for inbred. And so <that's>,
well, due to that, there's actually a lot of them that are legitimately retarded.
Well,
in
yeah.
the Hasidic community.
Hasidic people,
because,
yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Hasidic, I have no
yeah.
love for the Hasidic people, so let's
They don't
shit.
Have love for you.
No,
no.
They
don't. No,
no,
they
don't.
No,
you're
not
fans.
Mutual. No. Yeah, I know. No love for anyone except for their community.
Yeah.
Oh, man, yeah, they hate it. They hate it. Orthodox women like me, though.
I met
secretly,
an ex-Hasidic woman that was, I mean, like, total rebellion, like, covered in tattoos,
mm-hmm.
talking about oral all the time. Like, every second she could be like, I just want to get drunk. I wish bars were open. I need to drink. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, you were so repressed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is a lot.
I've dealt with a lot of that. People who do that, like me, romantically. I've got a lot of Mormons, a lot of Catholics, a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses, and some Muslims and Jews, too.
The Hasidic women must be jealous of your long, flowing hair.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, that you
yeah,
can't
they
take
have to
it off.
Hide it because it makes people's penises hard.
Yes.
That that's so crazy that's the reason they hide it. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Yeah.
Is because it makes people, like some Jewish guy was like, your hair makes me hard. Yeah, I can't concentrate
on the
Torah.
I thought it was a thing where.
I thought it was like an ownership.
Yes. I thought it was like only the husband is allowed to see the woman's natural.
I think it's a bit of both. Bit of column A, bit of column B.
Hair is inherently sexy and like worldly and stuff. So you got to cover it because you're like distracting everyone from studying Torah and being good. Because you see people's hair and you're like, so I gotta get inside
of that
person.
I wanna get a fistful of that hair.
If hair is sexy, do the husbands make the women grow a bush and trim it like a bonsai tree? they just curate it.
They don't see the bush because they fuck them through that sheet.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know the big measles outbreak wasn't anti-vax due to any religious shit? It was because the anti-vax lobby actually targeted Hasidic women because they are uneducated and they're always by the phone all day, you know, with nothing to do but be there with their fucking kids. So they targeted these women, and that's why they became an anti-vax community. It had nothing to do with religion. They just targeted them. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And then everybody got measles.
Dude, I love it. They're just some... Dude, how many of our problems are just... anyone on Facebook just being like, seems real, and then we're fucked.
Yeah, just believable idiots.
I had a friend, she lived in, like, where is the... Is that, like, East Williamsburg? Is that where all of
Crown
the...
Williamsburg, Crown Heights.
Yeah, but whatever part of Williamsburg that was, and she lived over there, and she would, like, every day get, like, approached by Hasidic Jewish men and, like, the Orthodox or whatever with like, cash in their hand, just because they assume that, like, anybody who's not of the faith that's a woman is a prostitute. So they just, they'd be like, come on, we have sex now. Like, literally. And she's like, what's wrong? And, you know, they're all married guys that just absolutely cheat on their wives because women are shittier than them. How they sidestepped the woke cancel culture movement, how that religion hasn't been canceled,
it's like hip-hop.
Is crazy.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the same. Yeah.
It's like if hip-hop were a group of people.
And it's the same as burkas being, like, the nexus of the woke universe.
Yeah.
You can't really, either side, you're kind of wrong because you're either anti-woman or you're anti-religion.
Yeah. Right.
There's a lot of women who are anti burqa, and then everyone's like, yeah, queen, and then there's a woman who's like, it's my right to wear the beekeeper uniform. And people are like, yeah, you go. And I mean, technically they're both right, but
yeah,
there's a lot
and then
of...
they're like, this is confusing. Let's just reroute to hating white men.
Yeah.
The old fail safe.
Yeah.
pull the straight white male ripcord.
Yeah.
Sweet
safety.
But what you were just saying with the prostitute is also a reason why there's a huge herpes outbreak in the Hasidic community.
Oh, dude.
Because all these guys just raw dog because they don't believe in condoms. Raw dog.
Yeah, and that's how they gave herpes to children when they sucked the blood out of their penis. That I wish I was a moyle.
What?
Dude, me walking through Crown Heights, though, like when they were trying to pass out the reeds or whatever and do a reading with you, I was like a thick white chick in Harlem. I was getting stopped
with
my face because they're just like, are you Jewish?
How
are
you think
Jewish?
I know. Jesus Christ.
I get a little bit of that, too. Yeah. I get a little Middle Eastern drip.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So that's why I have a sword on my face. Yeah. Never have to talk to people like that. Mormon missionaries, they see me, they just go right on by, baby. They don't give
a fuck.
That's
so funny that you were so angry at religion. You're like, I'm putting this on my face to stop this forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. It's good. It's a good time. It stops everybody, really.
Hey, everybody, it's your old pal Ian Fidance here from the Bye Guys podcast, and I'm here today to talk to you about none other than, you guessed it because you're listening to Gas Digital, Blue Chew. That's right. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew! Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer-lasting erections. That's right, they don't make it for women because it's just dude stuff. That's right, are you having a hard time getting your wang rock hard for the bedroom or even just for yourself in between listening to episodes of Bye Guys and whacking off to our sexy, sultry theme? Well, if you're having a hard time getting a hard on, Blue Chew chewable tablets are for you. That's right. Blue Chew is a unique online service that offers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED, erectile dysfunction. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office. No awkward conversations like, doctor, my dick don't work. You don't gotta know. The only one that has to know is you, your search bar, and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package so your neighbors don't know that you're a dick not working loser. That's right. You're tired of being a loser whose dick doesn't work? Blue Chew chewable tablets are the product for you. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part? It's all done online, you lazy fuck. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? Are you a mongoloid that doesn't know how to actually swallow? You having a hard time putting water in your mouth and gulping? Well, there's no problem here. You just take your jowls and your mandibles and crunch them up in your mouth and then swallow like a little baby taking a Flintstone pill for your pee-pee. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA. No China products here, USA. Just guy stuff. And they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. So if you could benefit from extra confidence, and you can't say confidence without finance, when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And here's a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code GUYS. At checkout, just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code GUYS, to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast. All righty, ladies and germs, let's get back to the show. Yeah, also, have you seen that documentary on the Hasidic community? I forget what it's called, Alex. Maybe look it up. It's about three people trying to leave the Hasidic community, and a woman tries to leave. Yeah, like within the past 2 years, the woman tries to leave, and the men in the community will chase her down and go to her apartment and hit it with hammers because she's trying to divorce her husband and leave.
What's it called? One of Us?
Yes! Yeah. One of Us.
Yeah.
Which is such a... One of Us! One of Us! You know.
Well, dude, I've lived amongst the Hasidics, like... pretty much my whole life. I'm from Rockland, and right in Muncie, Spring Valley, that entire area is probably one of the biggest communities in the Northeast. I went to RCC, which is like right in Suffern, Muncie, right there. So they were constantly on campus all that time. Then I moved to Crown Heights, so they're right there. And now I'm back in fucking Rockland. It's like I can't fucking escape these people.
Dude, man. So during the pandemic, this is how things got. I ended up hanging out with my friend's dad. I would go over there on Sundays, and we would... Do you guys know Chloe Hilliard?
Yeah.
Yeah. Her dad, Vinny, became like...
I don't know Vin.
Oh, well, whatever. Dude, you know, this Chloe, guy's a shit,
fellow
dude.
Comedian, Chloe
spent
Hilliard.
Time in federal prison and was like a chef for years and like has the best stories in the world. Anyway, he lives right in the heart of it in a Hasidic apartment complex, and I would go over and hang out. And one time we're just hanging out there, and a Jewish man comes up, and he's like, "You work? Do you want to work for me right now?" And I was like, "What?" And he's like, "We need a caterer. He's not working. You show up. Don't worry about pay. You'll get paid later." And I was like, "No." Leaves. Comes back, and he goes, "You really don't want to get some money right now?" And I was like, "Well, will you pay me today?" And he goes, "Don't worry about the money. You'll get paid. Just come to work." And he kept. Like abusing me and wouldn't take no for an answer, and then was promising this, you know, like carrot stick of money that was going to come one day.
Dude, I worked in like selling beer. When I was at one of the bars talking to one of the bar owners, and they had a Hasidic Jewish guy who would I guess also work with the bar to sell them, like literally like toilet paper and paper towels and stuff like that, and so. He tried to recruit me to do the same exact thing where he's like, "You don't want to sell beer, you come work for me." And I go, "What do you do?" And he's like, "You go around, you collect money from people who don't pay." And I'm like, "You want me to get money from people who won't pay for toilet paper? That's the level.
So you're asking me to be a bodyguard for a loan shark?
That's a huge. That's a huge get. What a compliment for you.
I guess, but I'm like, I'm selling alcohol and people don't pay for that. Imagine the level of like
for toilet paper.
That, but I gotta chase people down for toilet paper.
That's how malnourished and inbred that community is. Feeney is an enforcer.
Feeney's going around. He's like, listen, you better give me that $2 for that single ply or else.
Yeah.
That's a really good beginner crime job. I used to do that job. It's a good job.
What? Did you?
Yeah.
For toilet paper.
No, not for toilet paper. Just collecting money. Money collecting.
Oh, yeah. It's the worst thing in the world. Because you would have to do that with beer, too. And it's like people would pay. If you didn't pay your liquor bill.
Sneering right now.
Me? That was my intent to
your
listen.
Your face was like, you were literally like you were smelling something bad and you were frozen in that. And I was like, that just really reached
no,
my soul.
No, I was listening. I'm intensely listening.
With bars and restaurants, if you don't pay your liquor bills, the SLA, the State Liquor Authority, stops it, so you can't even get any alcohol. And then if you don't pay your lighting or heating, they just shut it off. If you don't pay your beer, I just have to keep coming back and asking for it. There's no repercussions for it whatsoever.
Yeah, what do you do when someone says no?
Then you just can't give them, you can't sell them more beer. And then when they call you at Friday night, angry that they don't have their beer, and then they're like, come get a check. And then it's for like $68. And then they postdate it for 3 weeks. And you're like, Jesus Christ. It's like, it was one of those jobs where you're like, the highs were great and the lows were chasing people, business owners who were clearly going out of business down for $72.
Good God. I can't imagine how drunk you would get on the job, though.
In the beginning, yeah. I mean, I was in my early 20s with a job that provided me free beer. My entire fridge was like 97% beer and then like a gallon of milk. And the rest of it was just all, and it was like all really good beer, like Belgian beers, craft beers, all of like the, when craft beer was in its biggest boom. And then I was also in all of the coolest bars in Brooklyn every single day. So, which is so funny because I'd be there at noon to, 4 p.m. or something. And then people would be like, this is the most packed bar. And I'm like, oh, for me, I would just go into these bars during the middle of the day when it was completely empty. And I'm like, that bar sucks. There's never anybody there. And they're like, when do you go? I'm like, 11:30.
Yeah. People are like, do you like this bar? You're like, yeah, it's a bunch of people cleaning. It fucking blows.
The chairs are all up on the tables. I don't get it.
I go during side work hour.
Yeah. It is. But it's
just a bunch of Mexicans folding silverware. It fucking stinks.
But that industry, not surprisingly, has, makes a lot of alcoholics because they'll be like, you go to the first bar stop and they'll be like, hey, you'll talk about whatever and they go, cool, you want a beer? And then if you say yes to the first one, then the whole day is done because then every bar, if you say yes three times, it's already gone. But worst case scenario, you say no, you're still sampling beer with the client. So you're still, even if you're taking little shots of beer.
And once you get the taste, you're off to the races.
Yeah,
I love Ian projecting his own.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's your thing. Yeah.
Once it hits your tongue, you can't stop.
You break the bottle on the side, you chase them out of there, and then you lock the doors and drink it all to yourself.
And then you just sleep in your car, so then you're early to work the next day.
There were definitely times, though, where I took a 3 p.m. power nap in my car of being like, I am not in any position to work or do. My buddy, because they used to give you a cell phone that had a tracker in it because they wanted to make sure, because there was no
a vaccine.
There was no accountability to know if anybody was working because there's no offices. It was just go out in the field at all times. So they would put a GPS tracker on this flip phone. So if you had cool accounts, you could just go to those accounts and be like, yo, let me leave this here for a few hours. And they just leave their phone and then go my buddy would go back to his apartment, smoke weed, play video games, come pick it up. And they're like, wow, you spent 6 hours at Spritzenhaus? You're fucking, and he's like, I'm just making a lot of moves in there, pal.
And it's weird. They didn't buy anything.
Yeah. And then you'd always say, they're planning a seed. We're going to plan a promo. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, dude. The service industry is just full of addicts.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a job on the Lower East Side waiting tables where I would just bring my Adderall and me and a guy would just trade pills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Adderall is the best waiting table drug of all time. You're the most efficient version of yourself.
Oh,
during rush, I used to crush rush.
Yeah.
During while on
name of the episode
40 milligrams of Adderall.
See, I would be stoned, which was the worst thing for because I never saw more drug use until I worked at an Applebee's, and it was like everybody was on coke or weed or like Adderall mushrooms. People were on serving, and it's just there were so many time. And when you're working at Applebee's, you're the server, the busser, the runner, and the waiter.
Cook.
So yeah, you're like you have to put stuff in the microwave. And I don't even think they have a grill there.
No,
and so,
they just fucking
everything
they have
is
a
nuked.
Hot table.
Yeah, so it just
eating good in the neighborhood, but whose neighborhood?
Yeah, and it was just crazy that the amount of times you would just see the amount of servers in the bathroom at one time was very impressive.
Oh yeah, it's terrible. I worked at a Denny's for a day.
What?
And it was, yeah, so they hired me as, I was like, yeah, I can cook. I lied. I've lied to get pretty, basically every job I've ever had.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, a big time lied. Once I said I applied to be a ski instructor.
I don't have
tattoos. I had never skied in my life. And I got the job and I taught kids how to ski. It was very bad. But so I worked at Denny's. I got the job. They're like, oh, you can cook. I was like, yeah, I fucking can cook. And I just like YouTubed how to scramble eggs, whatever. I grew up so poor that like there was no cooking at my house.
Sure.
Like as kids, we just like foraged for food. So
like berries?
Yeah, well, no, just like whatever, like ramen just, or like
beaver pelt.
Bread. Dude, I ate so much just straight bread and peanut butter as a kid, you know? Or like, it's just, you know, when your parents are dealing with addiction or trying not to die. Or my stepfather was like a murderer and stuff. So
what do you mean was like a murderer?
No, he like murdered guys.
Is he still alive?
Multiple.
No, he's not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
did he get murdered?
He wasn't murdered.
For coolest guy in Utah.
He was out riding a motorcycle, and then he got off his motorcycle and took off his helmet, and then he had a seizure and he hit his head on a rock a bunch of times and died. It's very tragic.
Oh,
yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
I see it.
Oh man, isn't that crazy?
Rock a bunch of times.
Oh, yeah. I just got it.
Yeah, there you go. So, so he fucking is not alive. Anyway, he did murder a guy. He eventually got caught murdering someone. He like beat someone to death with his hands, and like five people were like, hey, you just beat that guy to death with your hands? And he was like, I did. And so he went to jail for like only less than a year.
Did he live in de Blasio's New York? I don't get it.
Did you ever talk to him about it? Like, was he open about it, being like, I fucked up? Or was he like,
no,
let me tell you what it's like to take a life?
No, yeah, we talked about it all the time, because I eventually did crime also.
You murdered people?
Well, what a wild thing to ask me.
What a wild thing to not immediately deny.
Still
hasn't denied it, by the way.
I grew
hey,
up
buddy,
around, like,
another question like that, and I'll murder you.
Yeah. I rescind the previous question.
I grew up around, like,
do the thing that I didn't or did not do before.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I grew up around like motorcycle clubs and stuff, and you know, my stepfather was he was a wild guy, and my stepfather before him was a wild guy, and
that's a very fun lineage of things that are you're not blood related to.
Yeah.
Usually it's like my father and his father before him, and you're like,
also
my stepfather and Uncle Craig before him.
Who's not really an uncle, but a good family friend.
It's cool to know your mom has a type.
Yeah,
no, she does.
Loves a murderer.
My mom really was just like, hey, listen, I want the abuse to be spread around the whole family.
Yeah.
If we could, not just me, but all of them. And so, yeah, I mean, I grew up.
Do you, Kenny, take this woman in happiness and beating the sons as well?
Yeah, I grew up in like a wild family where, you know, if me and my brother like had a dispute, we had to hide it from our parents because our parents would make us fist fight to solve it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah. My mom, once a guy bullied me, and so both my stepbrothers were Irish twins or Irish triplets, the three of us. And so we're all like within a year of each other. Mm. And we were getting bullied by the same guy at school. So my mom drove us to that guy's house, had us knock on the door and jump him in front of her so that she knew we took care of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what did that kid's parents do?
Well, his mom came out and she was like, hey, obviously no mom wants to see her son getting stomped out by three other kids. And then my mom was like, now we're fighting also.
Oh my God.
And then here's the thing. I grew up in a very small place. And what are you going to do? Call the cops on the family who is attached to the only motorcycle club in town and whose stepfather is the sergeant in arms and murders people?
Wow.
So you don't.
Utah, baby.
Yeah. Hell so, yeah.
Well, that's just white trash
living
shit.
A life inside of an episode of Cops.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just, rules. It's just white trash meth people stuff, you know? Yeah. So we just grew up straight hill people. And so yeah, anyway, I worked at Denny's for a day.
Yeah.
Which I'm now thinking is a cover story.
Yeah, yeah. I needed an alibi for that thing I did or did not commit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So scrambled eggs is actually a euphemism. Yeah.
There was a time in my life where I was like, oh, I'm not going to do, I was like, I'm not going to be like my stepfather. I'm not going to do crime. I'm just going to like car hop and do like minor robberies and burglaries, and then I'll supplement my income by like working at Lids at the mall or Denny's or call centers or whatever. And then eventually I was like, nah, fuck this. I want to do like real work. And I started, you know, taking work from real people who are like, you know, having you rob actual people or places and things, or like collecting all money nouns. Or, you know.
Oh, that was the money collection job you had.
Yeah,
very
yeah,
different
yeah.
than what I was talking
about. No!
He's like wagging his finger in some short as an expression.
Your guy, wanted you to enforce. He was like, this guy's tall. Yeah. He has a mustache. People are going to be afraid. Yeah. He thought maybe they'd be like, I don't know. He seems. Listen, skinny guys, they fucking fight. So
bony knuckles, baby.
That's it, dude.
They're like razor blades.
Yeah.
And that was a great job, by the way. I had a friend named Anton. He had a gun tattooed on his face.
Oh.
Yeah, and people we
it's
would
kind of the only job he could have.
Yeah, so yeah. Very easy money. I just hung out with the homie all day, and we listened to music, and then went and collected money from people who weren't paying their debts.
It's like, don't make me use this. Yeah.
Shane's got a knife on him.
Yeah, he goes to gun buck him. He just headbutts him right in his cheek.
Yeah, but it, so Anton was
he loads it by putting food in his mouth.
Oh my God. So that was the whole thing. But so I worked at Denny's for a day. I got hired. I was like, I can cook. They're like, can you? I was like, I sure can.
Wow.
And then Denny's is a piece of shit place where like no one wants to come in. Everyone's on drugs. Very working class. They're like, are you a felon? And I was like, I don't know. And they were like, all right, get in here. And so
I don't know.
Yeah.
Depends. Just, have they figured it out yet?
Yeah. Are you gonna
felony.
Check? Yeah. Are you going to check? So who can check really? How do you even...
Anyone, I think.
I mean, now you can Google it. But
yeah.
But in like...
Fingerprints?
But in 2000, in 2010 or whatever, 2006...
That is so recently.
I mean, back in the Stone Age of 2010.
Yeah. Early 2017, no one had years.
What was the iPhone 5?
Yeah. Not where I'm from. So anyway, people, they were just like, yeah, whatever, get in here. And so I lied, and then I got hired, and then I showed up, and it was busy, and the dude who was the cook like didn't show up, and I was just like the line cook or whatever, the assistant. So I just like, I was like, oh, I'll be fine, because he'll be like cook 100 pancakes while I do the omelets or whatever. And I was like, all right. And so the lady came back, she was like, you're the cook. And I put it on my shit like, oh my God. The other guy leaves, and they're like, they bring me my first order ever. It's a big moment. I'm a chef now. This is my first order. I'm starting my new life or whatever as a guy who has an honest job. And she goes, it's a grand slam, eggs over hard. And I said, I quit. My apron, and I was like, I have no idea what an egg over hard is, and I'm not gonna learn. And I walked right out the fucking door, and they were not stoked.
Awesome.
Immediately, like one order, she came back, eggs over hard, and I was like, well, I'm out.
Yeah, they're like, no, get back, and you're like, I could murder you. Like, never mind.
The thing is, the threat of murder is not a good one at Denny's. They're like, release me from this pain.
Do you guys need a murder chef?
Yeah, I could murder some eggs. For you, if you want.
All chefs at Denny's are murder chefs, and you know this.
Yeah.
Holy shit. So what'd they do? They just...
I fucking don't know.
Is that why it takes so long to get your food at Denny's? Yeah. Because there's just murder chefs?
Yeah.
Quitting. Quitting at an incredible rate.
Absolutely. Yeah. Those places have like crazy turnover. They don't care.
That's why Waffle Houses are such nightmares.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Denny's in like the actual West are like the Waffle Houses of the West. We don't have Waffle Houses, so we have Denny's and Village Inn.
Village Inn.
Yeah, Village Inn is like Denny. If you were like, Denny's is too fancy, I want to go to a place with a simpler menu.
It's like how there's no Checkers down south. It's just Rallies.
The fuck
and
are
Sonic.
Both of those
and
things?
And Bojangles?
Do you know what Checkers is?
I don't know what either of the thing you
Checkers
just said
is. Delicious.
Checkers has got the best, maybe the best fast food French fries in the business.
Oh, I'll remember
seasoned,
that.
They're seasoned fries. There's a bunch of, there's a few in New York City, and they're always.
It's mostly in like, in Crown Heights and Bed-Stuy.
Is it? Like, yeah. I know there's one right underneath the
Queensboro
Bridge.
The food tastes better
too.
When it's sold behind bulletproof glass.
Well, we it had always one. Does. We, yes. I had one in my neighborhood when we grew up, and we would go there. But it was like there was never any inside of it. Like you couldn't go in.
There's always an outside red table with the little holes.
Yeah,
in it.
And okay. there was two. There was two drive-throughs. Yeah, there's
oh,
two
a Wiener Schnitzel.
What?
That's how Wiener Schnitzel
are. Wait, you never
are.
Sat inside.
They don't let you
Checkers?
Go inside.
There is no,
no
inside.
You can't.
Oh, I sat inside one on Nostrand Ave and Fulton.
I mean, that's a unicorn.
Yeah.
Yeah, fancy.
Well, look at me.
That was the name of the person serving you the food.
You've had COVID and you've been inside a Checkers. No, we get it. No, we get it.
See what I'm saying? COVID. See what I'm saying?
When I got it in the Checkers, actually, so. Yeah.
That would make sense.
So wait, hold on. You're saying that there's no Checkers in the South?
No, they're called rallies. It's owned by the same people, but they're called rallies. Just
no,
like
that's called what people do in the South.
Yeah.
That's where people
it's also,
go.
There's also no White Castle. They call them Crystal Burger or something like that.
Terrible name.
Very terrible.
Another example of white genocide.
See? Rallies.
Whoa,
it's the exact
it's the same,
same
thing.
White,
Alex, put them next to each other.
That's amazing.
How is that possible?
Yeah. I think they're definitely owned by the same company.
I mean, if not, that would be even funnier.
Yeah, that's like McDowell's. Like,
yeah. we're just going to do
McDowell's.
That.
I almost like the Rally's logo more. It's got a little guy on it.
And go to Crystal and White Castle. Those are pretty similar, too. Well, I think they're both shaped like a castle as well. Man, okay. We used to get so many White Castles.
Yeah, those 30
you get the brief. Once they came out with the cardboard briefcase full of mini burgers, bad. That wow. was like a game
Dude,
changer.
Dude, that White Castle in Williamsburg next to Legion Bar. Do you guys remember that?
No.
Yes. No? I used to go there all the time after the 6 p.m. Saturday show.
Yes.
Remember chicken rings?
Chicken rings?
They were like in the shape of onion rings. It was just fried just, chicken, but they would just cut out the middle.
I thought you were naming another fast food
place. I did not. Yeah, I did too. I was like, what the
No,
fuck?
I'm just very aware of the menu of White Castle.
Yeah, me too. I know.
Diarrhea fest.
My friend Ryan's dad used to, like, when we were in high school, and they would eat, you know, I didn't drink, but my buddies were drinking, or we'd be high, and he'd know we were high. He'd come home with, like, a 30 suitcase of fucking White Castle and just watch us eat with pride.
What's
like,
weird,
just
I didn't
be
like,
so proud.
I didn't like the cheeseburgers from White Castle. I'd go regular straight burgers
no.
with it, and then just slam them down. And then it was like, how many can you eat before you're in too much pain?
15.
Yeah, I would get the...
What's that? You got Britney Murphy hands going on over here.
I'm
like
getting so nervous thinking about all the diarrhea I got.
Oh, that is
you did like a... I'll never
full
tell.
Side of Asperger's.
You did a whole...
I was thinking the fish sandwiches I used to get from White Castle.
They were straight.
You were like this.
Because I was getting so nervous thinking about the PTSD shits I got from White Castle eating the fish fillets.
We should do.
I've never had a fish fillet in my life.
What? Oh, yeah.
Get one Don't right after it. This,
dude. Wendy's fish fillet, best one.
Wow,
that's straight
no
Alaskan cod.
I didn't even know they had a fish.
I didn't know they had either. Alaskan you know, Burger King cod. Has tacos, and they're very good. Speaking of secret
Ew.
Things,
Burger King makes tacos.
Yeah. Some Burger Kings, if you ask for them, they're like, "You are you sure?" And you're like,
"What
yeah.
is it?" They just take their meat. And, like, take a burger patty and crumble
yeah,
it?
Yeah, they literally, like, put a Kraft single and, like, one shred of lettuce, and then they have, like, sauce, and then they deep fry it, and it's like Jack-in-the-Box tacos. It tastes great. It's
gross.
Fucking great. And they used to be, like, two for 89 cents as a kid. They do not look like
no.
that.
Is that ketchup?
Is ketchup.
The cheese is never shredded,
I was
going to
say,
way.
They don't own shredded cheese at
No,
Burger
they
King.
Put straight up put, like, a Kraft single in that bitch. They're delicious.
And is that ketchup, though?
No, that's their special hot sauce. No, they have a special kind of hot sauce. It's probably just watered-down ketchup with, like, cumin in it or something.
Yeah.
It's fucking great,
You mean
dude.
Human.
Whoop, 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 whoop. Oh, that's fucking...
What?
Well, let's get into plugs.
What did you prepare for today? Yeah. What's on
there's a whole rundown in front
great,
of you.
It's listen, just news stories. Great conversation. Has this not been a good fucking riff fest?
I've been having a great time.
I want to know more about Shane. I'm
I know. That's what I prepared for the show. Yeah. Shane.
Okay. Shane's talking about his life like he's the two people that robbed the ATM in Breaking Bad.
I've never seen that show, but.
Oh. Yeah, because you lived it.
Yeah. I get more of an Ozark vibe from him. It's a lot more.
You know what I do get a lot is people who've seen these shows and they go, "You're a nerd." You then they call me out like, "You didn't do crime." And I'm like, okay, well, I mean, fucking sure. I guess if you want to trust, they're like, you don't look like criminals on TV, so you were never a criminal.
Who says that?
Lots of people on the internet, and it's like,
well, people on the internet aren't mentally ill.
You think that's how that works? You think that the TV, like, not like everyone who's ever found out their neighbor was like a murderer or an assassin or a mobster or something is like, well, he seemed normal. It's like, yeah, no shit. Criminals are just people, you fucking dumb. Dumbasses,
like. Now let me ask you this: what's the most like exhilarating crime that you remember doing, where you were like, "Fuck, this is awesome," and I might get in so much trouble? Like the adrenaline
when
pumping.
You see soul of a man leave his body
in the dead of the winter.
When you feel their soul leave their body through their knife wound.
Yeah. When smoke arises from a knife wound in sub-zero temperature in the hills of Utah.
Yeah,
I mean, listen, there's a reason that, like, you watch, like, the movie Heat and you're like, fuck yeah. It is awesome. I love when people are like, violence is blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, violence kicks ass. It's fucking awesome. Winning fights feels good. Shooting guns feels good. Being shot at feels good. And fucking robbing people, it's objectively horrific. Like, I don't want to be a guy who hurts people. I'm not that person anymore. And I've, like, done so much work in my life not to be angry, not to take risks, not to be, you know, overly empathize and be a good person, but like all of that shit felt great, and I will not lie about that. It the best time of my life, the most focused I've ever been, the happiest I've ever been, was having friends who have my back no matter what, demonstrate it constantly, are willing to literally die for me. But more importantly than that, when people are like, oh, I would die for you, that's fucking lame shit. Anyone will die for anyone. Your dog will fucking die for you.
Yeah.
A firefighter who's never met you will die for you. What you want is someone who would hurt someone for you.
Ooh, kill for you.
Would you hurt, not only would you hurt someone, but would you hurt someone who doesn't deserve, would you do something bad for your soul for me? That's the real test of, like, are you a friend? Would you hurt
Shane's
someone who doesn't
fucking kill somebody?
Shane's just reading his Utah wedding vows. Yeah.
So that shit feels good. It feels fucking great.
Because that's my worry, though. It's like, you know, that was my thought process of, like, during the act, probably feel great. But let's say, like, whatever. Let's say you rob somebody that maybe has connections, or you beat somebody up that you know has a gang or something like that. Right after that, all that I would have is the paranoia of, like, when are they coming to retaliate? You know, and that, like, constant looking over your shoulder fear.
Well, that's not how, like, a lot of people think.
Sociopathy,
like,
works?
A lot, well, no.
Yeah, you don't feel,
that's
and you
not
move
how,
forward.
That's not how, like, real.
That's not how personality disorders work.
Crimes done, I mean, there are, like, revenge crimes where, like, a mobster wants you to know, like, Don Corleone says hello, but that's not, like, how real crime works. Real crime works like business, and people outsource work to criminals. So, like, if you're, you know, it's not like street gangs in movies. So, like, when I was doing bad things, there I have, like, a fixer who gives me work, and sometimes the work is violent. So they're like, you got to do this to this guy. He'll know. He'll know why you're doing it and who it's from, but you don't need to know. It has nothing to do with you. And so drive to this place. I'm in Utah. And they're like, drive to this place in Nevada. Fucking suit up. Don't let them see you. Don't let them know who you are. This is their address. Stake them out for a day or two. Get in there. Fuck him up. Tell him you're going to kill his wife or whatever if he doesn't give someone money, and then leave. And then that's a lot of what crime is. It's outsourced, and there's no consequences for it. I mean, 100,000 people in the United States go missing every year.
Whoa.
Fucking 60% of murders go unsolved. So, like, crime is big business, and it's real easy to get away with. And if you're just, if I, if I go to a fixer and I pay him to have something done and I never know these guys and they're not from my area, why does it matter? So, like, usually when you think of, like, retaliation or whatever, you're thinking of, like, street gang shit, like someone selling drugs on my block. But that's not what I was doing.
Right.
I was
a henchman.
Well, I mean, that essentially, yeah. That's like
you were
what,
like a playable character in an open world video game.
But like that's what. But that's like
your mission. Should you choose to accept?
But that's like what mobsters and like motorcycle clubs and like gangs do. You hire their workforce. You hire them for work.
Right.
You know. So you
well,
go and you're
even
like,
look
oh,
for that.
Were you like a Swiss Army knife, or did
guy.
You have a special?
You have
set
to
of
be a bad guy. How do well, you get
then,
hired for that? You have
on
to
top
be
of that,
a bad guy.
It's badguy.com.
To be like a made man or like someone who does this type of work, you have to another thing is like you can't just do it. It's not like college. You're not right. Going out for I'm gonna be a blood, but the Latin Kings are my safety gang.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You can't like there are no fucking tryouts. You grow up around these
you're
people.
Born into it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the only way to make sure that there are no snitches and no like weird shit going on.
That's crazy you got out of it. That you were able to get out of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big thing. That's, like, the big tough thing, and so.
Do well, any of your old friends, like, see
yeah,
your,
so I do,
your clips?
So,
like,
when I first started doing stand-up, I was, like, oh, I was not talking about that stuff. I, like, alluded to, like, oh, I was in a gang as a joke, but I never really talked about it. Now my act is, like, very autobiographical. Because I was like, oh, I'm going to get canceled. Because, like, I've done a few crimes I've been caught for. Like, I hit a guy with a sword once, and, like, that was a big deal. And, no, it wasn't that
what
one.
What part of the sword?
The sharp part.
The sharp part.
What do you mean?
Yeah, so it's funny you use the word hit,
yeah,
not stab. Or slash.
Or
no,
pierce.
No. If you stab someone with a sword, they'll die. You slash them with a sword, they'll probably live, but they'll be all fucked up.
And you hit them with the sword.
Yeah, in a fight.
But I'm like, hit them.
Hit
is like
them
a broad...
in like a slashy way?
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah,
it was a knighting accident.
Broadsword, ninja sword.
I don't
want to
get into it. But
yeah. Fair enough.
I've done a bunch of things where I'm like, oh, I'll get canceled for this. And then I realized... But no, but here's the reality, is that no one gives a fuck about guys hurting other guys. You're
well, that's
in the clear.
What's funny about how the fucking world we're living is that you would get canceled for saying a slur more than you would get canceled for hitting someone with a sword.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you just be open about how bad you were, and then people are like, well, what are you going to do? And so I realized, like, oh, I can't hide this. I should just be myself. And so now my act is very autobiographical, and I do have most people from my previous life purposefully want nothing to do with me, maybe not in like an angry way, but just to like, this is how
protect
it works
themselves.
You're gone
yeah.
way
yeah.
And then some of my friends who also got their lives together or people from my previous life, they like think it's funny and they're fucking down, they're whatever.
Well,
you know, they have like they've moved on with their lives and they're doing different things, or you know,
why do you think you've been able to rehabilitate yourself and become a productive member of society, where so many people fall short and just keep living this, you know, circle of crime and terrible behavior?
Luck. I simply am just incredibly lucky to have accidentally read a lot of books when I was a kid and had some semblance of self-awareness and the ability to kind of like stop and think about myself in terms of like what I'm doing and how I affect the world and how I fit into things. And I was able to just kind of be like, oh, I should change. I should like that. And I eventually like could see like, oh, there's no ceiling. There's a ceiling here. Like I'm as far as I get and I'm eventually go. I can't just keep doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas most people are, especially poor people or lower class people who are doing this, they're doing it to survive, which is why I started doing it. Cause I was like, fuck this. Mm-hmm. I can work at fucking McDonald's because my credit's bad and I can't live and I have no money and I'm going paycheck to paycheck, or I can fucking take this money and I can rob this pawn shop, mm-hmm. you know, and these guys are going to treat me well. They're going to respect me. I can, you know, I'm not embarrassed to tell women what I do. I'm not embarrassed of myself. I'm proud of my friends. Mm-hmm. That sounds so much better than working at McDonald's and having rich people treat me like shit every day and look down on me and tell me to pull myself up on my bootstraps. Fuck my bootstraps. Here's a gun in your face. Give me my fucking money, you know? And so that feels way better.
I think by the end of this podcast, you're going to slip back into that life, because we're like, isn't it great? And you're like, it is great.
great. Yeah. Yeah.
Honestly, if he doesn't, I'm going.
Yeah.
It so like enticing.
So can we put some fucking like Hatebreed behind this?
Yeah.
Please. Can we put some like fucking roaring bass line and a fucking breakdown?
So yeah, when you just fucking but I eventually was like, oh, is this bad? What am I gonna do? Where am I gonna go from here? And I was just like, I don't have to. I gotta figure this out. I gotta figure out a way to like not hate myself and be proud of myself and like have work, so, because I'm just gonna die. Also, it helped that my brother was in with me, and I was like kind of seeing him. I remember once we were in a fight at like an Arby's, some guy hit me with a snowball and we started beating the shit out of these guys in Arby's. The Hatebreed drop for this is great. So we're beating the fuck out of these guys in Arby's.
Yeah.
And my brother's a big guy. He's much bigger than me, and he has like these giant gorilla paws. And so he's fighting this dude, and he's just like really winning this fight, right? Just beating the fuck out of this guy. And I'm like, hell yeah, go you. And I look over, and there's like a family, and this mom is like covering her son's eyes as if there's like a sexual act happening. Like a titty is going to pop out during the fight. And I was like, oh, my brother's like the bad guy. And then I was like, oh, fuck, I'm the bad guy. Like, for sure. Because you do convince yourself it's me against everyone else. But then I kind of had a little bit of clarity by looking at my brother. And my brother, who's
older
very
younger.
Younger, who's much smarter than me, more empathetic than me, more kind, and just wanted better things for himself, too, was like, yeah, I'm here for you. And I was like, I'm here for you. And then we were like, all right, fuck it, let's leave together.
So you're both out.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, my brother does very well for himself, has a wife, does good work.
That's awesome.
This may be a dumb question.
Well, I was going to say, I love that, like, during that story, we had the Hatebreed behind it. Like, accented it so well.
Yeah.
Alex, can you play Girls Just Want to Have Fun? And Feeney, you'll tell one of your little beard stories.
How do you know if you're, like, attacking someone in a real serious fight? Sure. How do you know when you're done beating the shit out of them?
When you feel like it.
Because my thought process would be, like, until they're dead.
Oh, I mean,
because what if you just keep hitting them and then they're bleeding and then you go, you've had enough, and then you let them go and then you turn around and they fucking jump on your back, and you know,
because life's sure, not a movie.
Yeah. Gas Digital, I'm sure, has enough working class guys that have been in like, I don't know, 5 or 6 fist fights that you just like get an eye for it. You know, you just feel it out. You're like, fight's over.
Yeah.
There have been times where I've like, seen bar fights or whatever, where you punch someone once and he just like stumbles back, and then everyone's like, all right, seems like enough. You know, and there's I've seen times where, so, you know, it was not that.
Yeah.
And it was like, her, you know, not great. And
yeah, I think I'm talking like once you're on top of them pummeling, that seems like a thing where you're like,
well, it's like with some people, something takes over and you can't stop.
Yeah.
And some you just go like, your eyes go black like Wing of Crow.
People like that don't last.
Yeah.
If you're a person who loses control, you're not going to get in very many fights in those situations until you're going to get got. Right. You know, being in control is a big part of, like, violence should be professional, not emotional. If you're going to do it well.
Yeah.
That's the tagline of the next movie I'm writing.
This summer, violence is professional.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Well, why do you... So you got out because of self-reflection and knowledge from a young age, and you had to make a very difficult choice between the hard way out of, like, doing the right thing or the easy way of just, like, keep making money doing this thing. Why do you think so many people, you know, like, you grew up poor and everything.
Yeah.
Why do you think so many poor people choose not to? Because the enticement of the money? Or do you think that just that kind of behavior after a while tears away your conscience and your ability to reflect and understand that what you're doing is harmful? Like, do you think that kind of behavior kind of erodes away your soul to where you just lack all empathy? Or do you think a lot of these people involved in it are born without empathy?
No, they have empathy. I just think the material conditions of people force them into these situations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're married.
Mm-hmm.
You're both married, and you have kids. Imagine if, if you all of a sudden they made comedy illegal. And every time every time you did comedy, someone you don't know and don't care about, who's probably bad, but I don't know, maybe not, they get the shit beat out of them. Something bad happens. Would you just, and let's say you both pay you pay for your families with this money, would you bust yourself down to $9.50 or a minimum fucking wage?
No.
Would you do, or would you hurt someone to give your wife money?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You're not going to, but it's material conditions are what makes people like this. And then on top of that, your friends are doing it too. Oh, I'm not going to abandon my friends. This job is dangerous. I'm not going to let him do this without me.
I would bet that that's probably like, especially among parents, like if you ask a parent that, it's probably like a 95%. Yes, I would absolutely do crime to feed my kid.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what I mean? Only the people that don't care.
And that's why people are like, drug dealers in the hood or whatever. It's like, yeah. You mean guys who care about their families?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not great guys because of the nature of their work does probably erode away at your soul at some point and stuff. But it does become me against you, and it does become me and mine. Those guys are family men. They fucking care, and they're willing. They're really willing to show it by
what's interesting
risking
too is a lot of times as they, especially if they start young as a drug dealer, right? Then the more they're doing that, and the more crime they're exposed to, when they're raising their kid, they tend to start to become more violent towards the kid. So the kid ends up getting like the thing that they're doing it for, which is to preserve their family, ends up fucking up their kid emotionally more than financially, and then the kid's just fucked up forever.
Well, also at the same time, you know, when I was teaching, and it happens all over the city and in poor areas, the father figure or the mother usually gets taken out because of drug addiction, and the father gets taken out because of crime, and then there's drug dealers in the neighborhood that entice children at a young age to work for them, like you got a job working for crime, and all of a sudden you have money, and the drug dealer buys the mom groceries or gives kids presents at Christmas, so then this guy that is bad becomes a force of good in the neighborhood, and like you said, the kids get community, they get a job, and why would I go to school when I'm making $200 standing on a corner in a fucking half hour, and I'm gonna go to school for what? This is stupid.
You're describing my life. I mean, yeah. And then when you say that guy is bad, like you can be, and this is a thing where people are obsessed with the idea of duality of good and bad. Duality's not real. That's not a real concept. That's a Christian Abrahamic religion bullshit thing. There's no fucking duality. That guy can be an incredibly good person and an incredibly bad person at the same time.
Just like you can be with men and women, and it doesn't make you one or the other.
Yeah, dude, that's what I'm talking about. But so that guy can fucking, I mean, they can do great things for the community. They can give you a place. They can save you, you know, and then also send you down this path. And like, and yeah, violence is cyclical. You know, when you're a kid, you're around violence. It's horrific. It's not good for you. It fucks you up. Your stepdad hits you or whatever. Your mom hits you. You see people getting beaten or whatever, all kinds of horrible things. And then, you know, you grow up and then you're like, I'm not going to become that. And then you become that.
Yeah.
It, you know,
so how do you think you stop it? How do you stop this in these poor communities? How do you stop all of this from happening over and over and just being the cycle of death, doom, and destruction?
So, well, it's three things. It's improving their material conditions 100%. And when you improve someone's material conditions, you also, like, you know, you need to give them, like, respect. You know, no one is going to do a job for little money. It's less about the money and more about the fact that, like, oh, I'm going to do something and no one's going to respect me and they're going to think I'm a fucking loser. Well, then why would I do the right thing? I'd rather have respect and have people not think I'm a loser than be a good person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, so I you got to get in there and show them empathy, and you got to educate them.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the, you need empathy, respect, material conditions, and education.
Which is the rough draft of that Locke song, Money, Power, Respect.
Empathy.
That one was on the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
Holy fuck. That is awesome.
Sure. I don't know. I feel all right about it.
No, I mean, you know, the redemption of that, and you know, it's just so hard to get people out of that cycle because it's everything you said, but then like it just happens more and more, and I think eventually empathy erodes, and that light of like there is a way out, but it takes hard work and self-respect and everything, like you said, it's like, well, why would I ever do that?
Yeah
And then we're looking at that, the consequence of that, with, you know, everyone's out of a job and crime is up in every single fucking city. And it's just a fucking horrible mess. You need to go around and you know, you're like, you could be the Michelle Pfeiffer of inner cities.
Yeah. I talk at a few high schools, actually.
That's
a thing
awesome.
I've done.
I love that.
Yeah. It's the, you know what? Fuck kids, straight up. They're the worst.
So, I still can't believe that you were a teacher. Yeah, it's so isn't that hard wild? To imagine?
Why?
I could picture it.
Why?
What were a lot of
Alex so yes. fun on your manic up days, and then just a nightmare that kids couldn't possibly
pop
understand.
Pop fucking quiz assholes!
And the shift in tone so yeah. drastically, they were like, "Oh, I thought we had a thing."
Shut the fuck up, Lameek.
Lameek.
Glad you're
what
here.
Did you teach?
I taught English, and I went to school for English education. I student taught, and then I was a full-time sub, and I lost that gig, and then I stopped teaching for a while, and then I came back and taught test prep. So I would teach wow. test prep in different schools. I'd be there anywhere from like a month to 3 months, and I would teach 9:30 to 1, and then I'd have lunch, and then I'd go to another school and teach 3 to 6.
What was the age group?
Fifth, sixth grade, and then high school.
The most impressionable kids.
Yeah, it was. Damn. I mean, like, I did so. High school fucking ruled. Kids, like, I could, like, level with them and treat them like adults, and it was great. But kids, I could not control. I could not handle. It was just such a nightmare. But it taught me, like, I had this very, like, white idea of teaching because I went to white schools and it was very like, I'm the authority, you listen to me,
yeah,
don't get up and run around. And then very quickly I had to learn like which fires to put out, and it was wrong of me to come into their world and expect them to adhere to my way of teaching when I had to mold my way to. Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing so hard because Gannon has been panicking for the last 8 minutes, going like this. I assume I gotta go.
You're gonna leave?
I gotta move my car. I thought this was an hour.
I thought you were looking for weed.
I've just been panicking.
I love this conversation. I'm having a great time.
To break in about yeah. his car. And just Ian's getting so personal.
Every half a cunt
yeah,
hair
sorry,
low.
Sorry, Ian. I didn't fucking keep you entertained with murder and robbing. I was talking about the plight of the inner city school.
Did you even hear what I said yelling at you? I said, you're good at your job. You kept the flow going. I couldn't break in. Well, let's end it because let me tell you something.
This has been a fucking banger.
Yeah.
And I mean, look, I hope Zach goes away more often because Shane fucking, those were big pants to fill.
Third bike
guy. Fucking Shane fucking murdered it.
I think this might be the
I mean,
no,
I should have not.
We don't know
if he murdered it or not.
Easy now. Everybody.
Before you go, can we do plugs?
Yeah, I'd love that.
Real quick, Alex, plug it away. And Feeney, what you got?
MikeFeeneyComedy.com for
Go to him first.
I am Mike Feeney.
Oh, shit.
On social
media.
Irish Goodbye Podcast. Here's the Scenario Podcast. Check out my special Rage Against the Routine on
YouTube. Well, his plugs are your plugs.
For the most part. And yeah, come see a show and follow me on social media. Thanks.
Same.
Cannon.
At I am Mike Cannon. Irish Goodbye Pod on the Gas Digital Network. Here's a Scenario, also our podcast together. And then my special, Life Begins, on YouTube. I got a ton of shit coming out on YouTube, so Mike Cannon Comedy up there. And
You know the biggest crime that happened today? Talking about crime?
What?
Us having to end the show.
Oh! Shane, what you got?
ShaneSmithComedy.com for a bunch of dates coming up. I'm going to be all over the place. So who knows where I'll be? Alaska, D.C., Jersey, Long Island for the first time. And
Rikers
then,
Island.
Dude, yeah, yeah, yeah. I would. If you know a guy who wants someone to perform in prison, hey, get at me.
I will talk to you after the show.
There actually are shows that do that.
Yeah, yeah, I love it. And then you can find me on Without a Country here on Gas Digital with Corinne Fisher yelling about politics and getting Homeland Security sent to my house because I'm threatening to kill Bill Clinton for being a pedophile. But only if he's a pedophile. Okay, and then also Cowboy Boys Podcast. I'm allowed to say that because we don't know.
It's a free country.
Exactly. Cowboy Boys Podcast, not on Gas Digital, just stuff. And then you can see my specials, Prison for Wizards and Alligator Boys, on the internet. All right.
Hell yeah. IanFinance.com for dates. I'm going to be at the Funny Stop in Akron, Ohio, May 7th and 8th. House of Laughs, Wilmington, Delaware, June 11th and 12th. BJ Ryan's, Norwalk, Connecticut, May 16th or 17th. IanFinance.com. IAnimal69 on Instagram, Twitter, and Twitch. Me, Feeney, Shuli, Saglo.
Yeah.
We Twitch it up. It's a blast.
I got to get in there.
Dude, yes, we had a Twitch together. Holy fuck. Yes.
I have a thing I want to do with comics where we play Mario Party, but it's
All right.
Oh, yeah, get out of here. of here, Cannon.
All right, see ya.
I don't know if you guys are into Mario Party, but I'm going to have the Mario Party AI play. So we don't play, but we bet on the AI, and then there's consequence for the loser. It's very funny.
Well, let's fucking Twitch it up, bitch.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Hell
time.
Yeah.
It'll be a good time.
And Ian's Infinite Playlist, SiriusXM Radio, every Friday, 1 p.m., Channel 99. Shane, you got to come on it because we're fucking music bros.
Yeah, please.
Yes,
please.
Absolutely. Dude, this has been such a good fucking show. Holy shit. Cannon Feeney. Cannon's not here. Feeney's he shot here, out though. Like a cannon. Feeney's here. Thank you guys for tuning in. And Shane,
Oh, okay.
Yeah, to the camera. So okay. This is Shane Smith and Ian Finance signing off saying,
bye, guys.
Hey, everyone, before we go, if you enjoy this podcast, you might enjoy some of the other podcasts available at GasDigitalNetwork.com. This week, we are highlighting The Josta Show with host, lead singer from the band Hatebreed, Jamie Josta. I cannot endorse this podcast enough. Growing up as a little hardcore kid, Hatebreed was one of the first bands that made me feel alive. And his podcast is so fun. He talks to hardcore metal legends, talks about movies, talks about what it's like being a pioneer of the hardcore genre. And listening to it just makes me want to mosh my little fucking balls off. And in this episode, we actually played Hatebreed underneath a story of some pretty cool experiences. So if you like Hatebreed, if you like metal, if you like just interesting conversations, you're going to love The Josta Show. You can find the full catalog episodes on demand at GasDigitalNetwork.com or catch the latest 20 episodes anywhere you find podcasts. Here's a clip, you cute little babies.
I had a great time hanging out with Jimmy Bauer once when I met him, and we got fucking handcuffed and sat on a curb outside of a bar together. That was great.
Why?
he was like talking to some girl. He came to an Eaton show. I've never met him, by the way. He's like in the back room, just like being Jimmy Bauer-ish. He's like, let's go to a bar. Me and you, let's fuck go to a bar. I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna miss the opportunity to go to a bar, Jimmy Bauer. So we walked to this bar like near the venue. He gets fucking hammered, starts hitting on a girl. The girl's boyfriend like kind of steps in. Jimmy Bauer says something to her, like super offensive. She slaps him, his fake teeth come out, and she fucking steps on him. So he like goes fucking full, like raging mad, and starts just like pushing the boyfriend and like just screaming. And so they called the cops, and me and Jimmy Bauer got handcuffed and sat outside, and then they just let us go. But I never saw him again either.
Oh my God. That's incredible.